Thank Rav Amalei for this new format. This I'm not sure if I'm, it's Thursday, it's
so
Tuesday. Oftentimes, the yeshiva invites outside speakers. Sometimes the rebbeim invite the speakers into the shiurim. Sometimes the speakers come and they address the yeshiva at large. And if I'm ever connected to the speaker that's coming in, so the speaker usually will ask the following question before he addresses the boys and the talmidim. They'll say something along the lines of, so new, what do the boys want to hear about? What topic do the boys want to hear? So I usually answer that question with the following line. The question really you should be asking is, what do the boys not want to hear about? Because to address the topics that we want to hear about, although there are many important topics that need chizuk in yeshiva, we need to speak about, you know, coming on time to Seder, and tefillah b'tzibur is very important. We speak about chesed ben adam l'chavero. These are all things which are crucial for our development, and we need to hear about it. But sometimes it's easier to hear about those topics, because it doesn't run in contrast to what we think. It doesn't put us at any kind of threat. So today, with your permission, I want to speak about a topic that maybe is, for some of us, is together of things that we don't necessarily want to hear about. And for some of us, hopefully it will allow us to think a little bit more about the topic. And get us to think about things that we don't always want to hear about. I believe that the topic is a true Torah hashkafa, and that it's important to speak about. And hopefully, each one of us will take something from it. I want to admit from the outset that it's a sichas moser, even though maybe it's a little bit of a tish style here. But anything we're going to say in this format is really going to be generalized, and it's going to be oversimplified. And anything that we talk about, you have to look at how you're going to apply it to your individual circumstance. Everyone is in a different circumstance. Everyone has a different nature, different things that they're battling with. And you have to really take the things that we talk about and go back to your rebbeim, discuss it individually with your personal situation. So what's the topic after all this introduction? The topic is setting yourself up for success by avoiding nisyonos. Avoiding nisyonos. So there's a Rav Simcha Zissel Broida, who was the Alter of Kelm. So he had a great Rebbe, Rav Yisrael Salanter. And he writes that this is one of the greatest principles his Rebbe, Rav Yisrael Salanter, taught to his Talmidim. Rav Simcha Zissel, I wrote down his quote. He writes that a person has to be honest with himself. Mitzvos oftentimes can be very difficult. Averos, to avoid averos, is oftentimes even harder. But Rav Simcha Zissel said, in the name of Yisrael Salanter, And I quote, "A person is obligated to make Torah observance as easy as possible for himself." We like that word, easy. As easy as possible for himself. One should not try to take on the Yetzer Hara frontally, but should rather avoid temptation or scenarios that will magnify the difficulty of keeping Torah law. So for some of us who like to be tough, that's a wimpy way out. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is telling us to take the easy path. The easy path of Torah observance. Many of us, we want to flex our muscles. We want to prove to ourselves, we want to prove to the world that we can take the Yetzer Hara head on and beat him. Because in our minds, victory means, what's the definition of victory? It means that we've defeated, we've conquered, we've overcome, we've vanquished the opponent. That's what victory means in our minds. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not quite sure that that's a Torah Hashkafa to victory. There's a Ramban in Chumash, in Parashas Vayishlach. There's an amazing diuk in the Ramban over here that is a lashon that I've been bothered by. And I think it really fits with exactly what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is telling us. And the Ramban is in a different context. But listen to the Ramban. The Ramban says in Parashas Vayishlach, one of his famous pieces on Maisa Avos Sim Labanim. So he's talking about what we can learn from Yaakov and Esav in their interaction. And he goes through a number of things, why the entire parasha is written. It's a Remez Ladoros. The Ramban writes, Yesh Va'o Remez Ladoros. Everything that happened with Yaakov and Esav, Roy Lanu, for us, it's worthwhile to take hold Bidarko Shel Tzadik, to take hold of the Derech of Yaakov Avinu. Shenazmin Atzmenu L'Shloshes HaDvarim, that we should prepare ourselves for the three things. Shehizmin Hu Es Atzmo, which Yaakov, in his confrontation with Esav, he prepared these three things. So what are the three things? Everybody knows here. What are they? No? What are they? Thank you, Shiva, Tzvila, Daron, and Milchama. But listen to the Ramban. When the Ramban says Milchama, says the Ramban, the Tzvila, simple, Daron, presence to Esav, Ulahatsala b'derech ha-Milchama, to be successful in the derech of Milchama, in battle, Livroach ulihinatzel, to run away and be saved. So Ramban is saying that victory is not automatically that I have conquered and defeated and vanquished the opponent. Yaakov Avinu was able to be livroach lehinatzel and return to his serenity, return to his avodas Hashem, to escape the opponent, to escape Esav. That was success in Milchama. So Kimdumani, this Ramban is a remez to exactly what we're going to talk about. This, we know the Medrash, I think there's a Medrash Rabbah at the end of Devarim, which says that the Sarah Shel Esav is Keneged, the Yetzer Hara is the Yetzer Hara. So maybe this Ramban is a remez to us in fighting the Sarah Shel Esav, in fighting the Yetzer Hara. It doesn't mean we have to confront the Yetzer Hara frontally. If we're able to escape and avoid scenarios which are pitfalls in our avodas Hashem, which are dangerous to our avodas Hashem, then we consider to be a success and have atzlacha in that milchama with the Sarah Shel Esav. Now, why do I bring this topic up now? Why is it discussing this concept from Yisrael Salanter now at this time of year? Whenever I speak at a Sichus Musar, I try to make it relevant to something that we're thinking about, something to the guy that's on the guy's minds, that's on our minds, whether in Seder or out of Seder. But one of the things that seems to me to be on everybody's mind during this time of year is summer plans. Am I correct? Summer plans. There have been camps coming in and out, interviewing people for prospective jobs. And many people, some tell me that I even saw, have an Excel sheet, a spreadsheet on all their options for the summer, with written out pros, cons. I'm not going to say when it was being done exactly at the time of day, but literally, it's an amazing thing of all the different options for the summer. Now, I asked the person who I saw, I said, did you ever do this before? Like, is this like, do you ever plan your summer the way you're planning this year? He said, no, never before. I never thought about my summer as much as I'm thinking about it now this year. Why is it? It's a beautiful thing. It's a good thing. Because as B'nai Torah, these decisions, you realize that after a year spent in yeshiva, it's a summer is very long here. We end quite early, in the beginning of June. You have 2.5 months after 9.5 months over here of learning, or so. You have 2.5 months as a finishing of the year. And therefore, as your continued growth, it is imperative that you think about this and make certain decisions that are going to be good for you as your growth as a Ben Torah. And therefore, setting yourself up for success specifically in this area to avoid outright and blatant challenges that you know that you could possibly come into is must be a factor in your decisions. And the truth is, it's not only the summer; it's life decisions have to have this factor in mind. Your decisions for next year, your decisions for a career path, as you go on in life, it always has to be a factor of making sure that I'm taking a route that could be avoiding potential pitfalls and nisyonos in avodas Hashem. So I was thinking a lot about this topic over Shabbos, and as it always has, whenever you're thinking of something and you read through the parsha, it's unbelievable how it's just like the floodgates open, and you begin to see everything's in the parshas Hashavua. And this topic, we're not going to be able to discuss many of the marmakomas, but this topic, immediately when I began the Shnai Mikra, I immediately saw it in the first pasuk, and Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz, the famed Mashkiach of Mir in his Das Torah, expounds upon it. Thank Rabbi Haber for opening our shir up to Das Torah. Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz shares with us every Thursday a piece from the Mashkiach. And he speaks about in the opening pasuk in Parshas Shach. And listen to what he says. Let's first learn the pasuk simply. Vayehi b'shalach paras ha'am v'lo nacham Elohim Elokim derech eretz plishtim ki karavu. So Paras sends out the Klal Yisrael v'lo nacham Elokim derech eretz plishtim. God does not lead them along the path to the plishtim. Why not? Ki karavu. So kikaru, how do we translate kikaru? So there's a machlokas for Rishonim over here. There's the Rashi and Ibn Ezra who explain ki means because. God didn't take them to the path of the Plishtim because it was close. But the Ramban argues on Rashi and Ibn Ezra, and the Ramban says ki means asher or afal pi. God did not take them to the way of the Plishtim even though it was close. Even though it was more convenient, even though it was easier, it was an easier path. That's how the Ramban learns the pasuk. So why, Taka, didn't he do it? Why didn't he take him on the easier path? So that's the hemshech of the pasuk. That's the next part. Ki amar Elokim, pen yinochem ha'am b'rosh ha'mochama v'shov ha'mitzrayim. Because God himself said that lest yinochem ha'am b'rosh ha'mochama, lest the nation reconsider when they see mochama and they'll return back to Mitzrayim. What's so bad about going back to Mitzrayim? So later on, the pasuk says, God says you're never going to go back to Mitzrayim, and if you look at the Ramban there, he says, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said you're not going to go back to Mitzrayim was not a haftacha, the Ramban says, it was a lo sasei. They can't go back to Mitzrayim. They're not supposed to go back to Mitzrayim. So the Ramban explains over here, even though it was an easier path, the Ramban explains that if they would have gone the path of the Plishtim, Derech Eretz Plishtim, the Ramban says they very quickly might have run back, as opposed to the more circuitous route where they would be safer. Why? The Ramban says because the Plishtim, the land that the Plishtim had was not a land that they were going to get. It wasn't going to be, it was just to invade and to get through. So if they would have been confronted with that challenge, they would have come right back. That's what the Ramban says. So Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz in Das Torah says, where do we find, it is not common that we find in Chumash that the Ribbono Shel Olam does something and he gives tamim ubiurim as to why he's doing it. Ki amar Elokim, why are you taking them on the more circuitous route? So here the Torah says, it gives God's explanation, his rationalization, his justification for not taking them on the more convenient route. The pasuk says, God explains himself. Because perhaps the nation is going to reconsider, and they're going to go back, and they're going to come back to Mitzrayim. So why all the explanations over here? So Rabbi Yeruchim explains, it's to show us the chesed and the love that the Ribbono Shel Olam has for Klal Yisrael. That he did not want to take them on the path that would be fraught with nisyonos. He took them on the circuitous route, which is a path we call of least resistance. They wouldn't run into nisyonos. And that's, Revolvi writes in the Sefer and Shir Chumash, that's a hanhaga that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Klal Yisrael that he doesn't have for the Goyim, in order to make sure that we're in a place that is not going to be as difficult, that we can escape and avoid the challenge. If the Ribbono Shel Olam acts this way with us, as the Yerucham says in his chesed, so how can we not act that way with ourselves? It's almost a kiyum and bahalach l'drachav according to this. The Ribbono Shel Olam has an hug with Klal Yisrael to try to ensure that they avoid the nisyonos. So how can we place ourselves on a path that's entering into the nisyon? So that's the way Yerucham explains the opening part of this parasha. Now, if you see, obviously we're not going to go into detail, but there is an amazing, amazing mimer in Sichos Musar, which is worthwhile for everybody to learn. It's mimer Chaf Aleph in the new edition. It's titled Schor Schor Amrinan L'Nazira. It is an amazing, amazing piece where Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, many of us over the past week have heard about Rav Rafal Shmulevitz. Some were even at the Levaya. Rav Rafal Shmulevitz just passed away. Tremendous Gaon and Talmud Chacham. But beyond that, I heard this week from one of my Rebbeim, Rav Rafal Shmulevitz embodied this entire Sefer of his father, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Sichos Musar. And you go through the Sichos Musar, some of us are learning it in Musar Seder, it gives you really tools for life. But here in this Sefer, he goes through many, many beautiful Amar Makomas on this issue. And the truth of the matter is, so we're only going to have another few minutes, but I encourage you to read through that Sichos Musar about this topic, about avoiding nisyonos and the importance. But he quotes one Gemara. He quotes one Gemara that I want to talk about, and then maybe a mashal, and we'll stop. The Gemara that he quotes is a Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra says a very, very striking thing. It's Daf Nun Zayin, I'm in Beis over here. I'm not going to read it inside over here. I have it over here. Listen to the Gemara. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Yeshaya, Ve'otzim einav miros b'roh. Person closes his eyes. And here the pasuk in Yeshaya is talking about the malus of a tzaddik. And the pasuk says he closes his eyes miros from seeing evil. So what's it talking about? The Gemara explains that it's talking about Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Zeh she'ein mistakel b'noshim b'shah she'omnos al hakvisa. This refers to someone who's walking on the river bank, and he doesn't look at something that's inappropriate. He sees women there, which Rabbeinu Gershom says over there, it's talking about women, nachrios, and they're not dressed appropriately, they're doing whatever they're doing over there. So the pasuk says, Otei may not have a person who closes his eyes from this. So that's, the Gemara says, Rabbi Chibras, that's what the pasuk is talking about, that's a mile of a tzaddik. The Gemara says, Hei chidami, what's the case talking about? Now listen to the Gemara. If he had another path to walk on, Roshahu, is it tzaddik? He could have gone another path. The Rashban says, even if he did close his eyes, why? He should have distanced himself. He had another option. He could have gotten to the same destination on a different path. So the Gemara says, okay, so what's the pasuk talking about? If he had another path, that's not the mile of a tzaddik. And if he had no choice, that's the place he had to walk. The Gemara says, honestly, he shouldn't be held accountable at all. So the Gemara answers, the case is he had no choice. He had to work on that path, and there were people dressed there that were inappropriately dressed. He didn't have a choice. Nonetheless, In that case, if he didn't have a choice, he had to be there. And he was able to conquer his Yetzer Hara, his Taiva, and he did not look at what he shouldn't have looked at. So Mibayle Lemenes Lanasha, that's what he's required to do, and we call him Roy L'Shelach, we call him a tzaddik for doing so. Here is the crucial Gemara. Because the Gemara says there are times in life where there's Ika Darcha Achrina, and there are times in life where it's Leka Darcha Achrina. There's no question in life we're put in situations where we don't have a choice in the matter. There are nisyonos and challenges which we will have. You go out to what we call the real world, you're in the business world, you're in the workforce, you're in college. There are challenges which you don't have a choice that you're going to face. So there, Rav Chaim speaks of there, if a person is in a challenge where he didn't ask for it, call it a God-given challenge. So Rav Chaim Sholes explains that a Kosh Baruch Hu will give you kochos to overcome that challenge. You'll have the power to overcome that challenge. But if it's a man-made challenge, he had a dark achrina, he could have gotten to the same goal on a different path, but he chose to go on the path he's going to fight in. I'll show you, I'll show the world I can do it. I've been here for a year in Torah Shraga, I've been wherever it is, and I can confront the Yitzhar. So there, the Gemara says, even if he's able to, says Rashba, Mikra Rasha. Very powerful Gemara. A person has to think about his plans. Is it Darka Achrina, Leka Darka Achrina? Does it have to be put in this Nisod? Does it not have to put in this Nisod? It's a very penetrating way to think, but I think it's the MS, and I think that we all have to really take this to heart. Mashallah Mahadavar Dom. Imagine the following scenario. Two esteemed alumni, and we'll use names. Rabbi Goldschmidt, what were the names?
Brian.
Jeff and Brian. Come to Torah Shraga. They come back to Torah Shraga after having been in Torah Shraga many years ago. They come back for vacation. I'm not sure, and remember, Jeff has to convince Brian to come back to Yeshiva for his vacation, or Brian has to convince Jeff to come back for his winter vacation. But they come back to Yeshiva Torah Shraga for vacation, and they have plans, of course, learning here for a week. Second week they're here, they're going up to the Galil, they're going to recharge, they're going to rest, they're going to relax, they're going to chill in a nice hotel, nice resort up in the Galil, they're going up north. So they rent a car, and they're driving up. And of course, anybody who drives in Israel should always have their ways to tell them how to go. Now, my understanding is that Waze is not so discriminate about exactly where they send you, into which villages they send Jewish, non-Jewish, Arab, right? Is that correct? So what happens? They're going on the way, and Waze says, at this intersection in 300 kilometers, make a right. And he looks at the sign, and it says, Ramallah. Waze says, go into Ramallah to get up wherever he's going. And so Jeff is driving and he sees, okay, Waze told me to go this way. Of course, he plugged in shortest route. This is the shortest route, so Waze says to go into Ramallah. So they press, you know, Brian presses alternate route, and alternate route says it's through Ramallah. Ramallah is a safer bet. Ramallah is a hotbed of our not-so-friendly cousins over there that one may not want to enter into, but Ramallah's pretty safe. Jeff says, Waze is saying, listen, Brian, we're here in Eretz Yisrael for 2 weeks. It's precious, a precious time over here. Who's going to give up 20 minutes of our precious time up in the Galil? We can't go a circuitous route. Go out of our way. Another 20 minutes. This is precious time. Brian, Brian turns, he's exasperated. He turns to Jeff. Jeff, how can 20 precious minutes to risk your life? Right? As our Rosh Hashiva would say, what is the nature of your illness? Jeff.
Ailment.
What is the nature of your ailment, Jeff? Are you crazy? Can you go into the Ramallah for 20 minutes to say 20 minutes? But Jeff looks back and he says, Brian, Waze is telling me to go there. Waze is the Urim Batum of our generation. We gotta go to the right. At which point, Brian turns back to Jeff. And he says, Jeff, Shaita! Shaita! You fool! You're gonna go ahead in a makom sakana. It's so dangerous to say 20 minutes in the grand scheme of things. It's a little inconvenient. It's a detour from the path you thought you were going on. But it's a makom sakana. It's dangerous. So, of course, we all, looking at this story, would say, Jeff is a shota. And I'm sure Jeff, when he comes to his senses, realizes that for the convenience, for the 20 minutes, for the minor disturbance, Jeff would also probably come to his senses that this is a very foolish thing to do. So why is it, when it comes to our physical danger, we're so acutely aware of the danger, and we would realize this would be the most foolish thing to do. But when it comes to spiritual dangers, we're not connected enough to realize that we oftentimes have to take an alternate path. And the reason, I think, is quite simple. Because our spiritual existence is not often as real to us as our physical existence. But if we'd come to the realization that the spiritual dangers are just as real, they're more real than the physical dangers in life, a person would do anything he can to avoid those spiritual pitfalls. Tachlis l'maisa. A person has to make many decisions in life. And I think the distinction has to be, is it a God-given challenge? Every day we say in davening, Atzivienu lo de nisayon. We don't ask for an answer. But if it's a God-given challenge that is sent our way, then we'll have the kochos to overcome it. But to put yourself into a situation which is dangerous in a spiritual sense, so that... that, who says that we're going to have the kochos to overcome those challenges? Again, there are many, let me stress, there are many, many factors. And I'm oversimplifying. There are many, many factors which go into every decision. And just to say off the bat, you know, you have to do X, you have to do Y, Z, is unfair. A person, Baruch Hashem, has rebbeim. A person has parents. We have parents with us today. A person has to look, the older I get, the more I realize how wise my parents are. And a person has to look to them for guidance, to help them find the right path that's going to be the successful path. What do your parents want? They want to set you up for success. But part of that is choosing the path which is not necessarily fraught with nisyonos. Time is already up. We'll stop here. Yiratzon. Chazal says to Gemara Avodah Zarah, Haba l'tahir misayinoso. If a person is trying to come to purity in his Avodah Hashem, there's siyat, special siyat of the Shmai. It's a havtacha that Kosh Baruch Hu has, gives us. Yiratzon, in all our decisions in life, starting now with our summer plans and our college plans and our future career paths, a person should always weigh this factor in his decision making. And Mirtz Hashem, Habal Atayr, will come to do the right thing and try to do the right thing. We'll have tremendous siyata d'shmaya. Thank you for listening.
Amen.
Michael?